when with all that heavenly host we began to sing, singing in the Holy Ghost, how the heavens will ring. Millions there will join the song, with them we shall be. Praising Christ to ages long, heaven's jubilee. Just ahead, in the twinkling of an eye, change within to be.
Thank you, Lord.
All the living saints to fly to that jubilee.
Well, now,
what a time it's going to be. What a time it now is. Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Did you enjoy the word of the Lord here last night? Wasn't it wonderful? Praise the Lord. Amen. God is so good to us. Just a tremendous time in the Lord, a tremendous service. And well, the word of the Lord just gets better all the time, doesn't it? Amen. Why don't you turn around and shake somebody's hand this morning? Greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in the house of God on Sunday morning. Play some more of that, guys. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now let's give the King of Kings a good hand clap of praise if you love him with all your heart this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. It's raining on the outside. I believe it's going to rain in here too, don't you? Praise the name of the Lord. Well, what a privilege it is once again to be in his house, Brother Terry. A lot of folks just think, well, it's just... It's just July. It's what is it? May? It's May the 21st. Just another Sunday morning. Time to go to church. But I'm going to tell you something. This is not just another Sunday morning. This could be the Sunday morning that we go home. This could be the Sunday morning we get out of here. Every service means something. Every service means growth. Every service means encouragement. Every service means you're adding to the stature of a perfect man. Are you glad about it? Are you thankful for it? Somebody say glory. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Just a couple of requests this morning. If you don't mind, to just remain standing. Brother Daniel, wherever you're at, if you'd come, be getting ready to take us to the Lord in prayer. I want to remember this prayer request this morning. Please remember the Bennett family in prayer. Sharon Bennett, which is the daughter of Brother Jerry and Sister Linda Phillips. Her father-in-law, Steve Bennett, was killed in an automobile accident earlier this year. And her brother-in-law, Tracy Bennett, passed away suddenly this morning. The family is devastated. Please pray for comfort and peace. So we want to pray for those needs, that family in particular, that the Lord would just be mindful of them. Brother Steve Bright worded this so good and says, please pray for my loving wife's back. She is experiencing back spasms, so we certainly want to pray for Sister Bright and Brother Steve, just precious, precious folks that we love here in our assembly. We just thank God for them. Let's pray for her today that the Lord would be mindful of her situation. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have needs today, let's continue to remember those that are sick in our assembly, those that need healing. May they receive that healing. Already been healed. Already been healed, every one of us. May our faith just reach out with muscles and grab hold of it this morning. Appreciate this guy right here, don't we? Amen. Love you, buddy. Appreciate you. God bless you.
It's an honor to be in God's house this morning. Amen. A whole lot of places we could be, but I can't think of no better place to be than right here in this sanctuary, right where you are today. Every need that you have, everything that you have need of in life, God can give it to you. Amen. If you believe Him. Amen. Let's pray for these requests this morning. Heavenly Father, I just want to say I love you, Jesus. I want to say how much I appreciate you, how you kept me, Lord Jesus, when I couldn't keep myself. God, I want to thank you for this church, for this congregation, for these people. God, I know that these are our brothers and our sisters that we'll be spending eternity with. Heavenly Father, we just pray that you'll move for them today. God, as we stand in this congregation this morning, as we bring our petitions and our needs before your throne, God, we know that you can move for each one of them. We pray in the name of Jesus that you'll move right now for these requests. And God, for those over the way of the end here, I pray that you'll be with them. God, I pray that you'll bless Brother Donnie today as he brings forth the message. Help us, oh God, that we'll be able to receive it. And Lord, we commit ourselves fully into your hands. Pray that you'll take charge right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Daniel. God bless you. Pastors, if you want to come at this time, receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us today in the service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have each and every one of you here. All those that would be streaming the service today, we pray the service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let's sing a song this morning. We got some specials lined up for you that I believe is going to be a blessing to you. But let's sing this song. What can wash away your sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Is that right? Do you appreciate the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? What it's done for your life. Amen. Let's sing about it this morning. What can wash away my sins?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Yes, what can make me whole again?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Well, oh, precious.
one time. Yes,
precious is the flow that makes me white as snow.
No, no other
fountain, no, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
And I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his throning, of his precious blood atoning, then I repented of my sin, and I won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood.
He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit.
Sing it to him.
And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory.
Turning back, oh, be no turning back. I have decided to follow the Lord. I have decided to follow my Lord. I have decided to follow my Lord, and there'll be no turning back.
Be no turning back. Turning back, there'll be no turning back. There'll be no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus.
Oh, yes.
I have decided to follow my Lord. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow my Lord.
Oh,
no turning. No turning back.
No turning.
Be no turning. Be no Hallelujah. Turning. Be no turning back. Be no turning back.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I guess I had about five melodies of five different songs going on my verse. But you got me out of it. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate you. The Lord bless you. Amen. We've got some great songs this morning. Brother Aaron, Sister Lindsay, I want them to come. And that song that you sung the last time you sung together, is that what they're going to do for us, Brother Larry? I really enjoyed that, didn't you? You can be seated this morning. They'll come this morning. Then Brother Harry, perhaps will have us a special this morning that he wrote several years ago. But let me make mention one more time to you that the Bibles, they are in the library. Am I right on that? Somebody tell me if I'm right on that. They are in the library for our graduates, high school graduates. Are any of them here this morning? Any of them at all? Would you, if you are, would you just stand to your feet? There ain't one of them here. Well, there is two. There's one, there's two, there's three, four, five. Let's give them a nice six. Let's give them a nice hand this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We certainly are proud of you. We appreciate you. And you know what? Life's getting ready to slap you right in the mouth. And I know you'll deal with it really, really well. I know you will. I know you will. God bless them. Could you say, God bless our graduates? Give them a nice hand this morning, if you will. Hey, we love these folks right here too, don't we? Amen. Give them a nice hand as they sing for you.
I'm a fool. I'm not saying it's easy. Sometimes it seems so cruel. Oh, but I remember where I came from and what you put me through. And I'm saying it's over. Devil, I'm saying we're through. You've had your chance to make something out of my life, and you turned me to what to do. Oh, but won't you turn to my Jesus? He will make you brand new. When you tell him it's over, tell the devil we're through. You've had your chance to make something
let's stand this morning. You appreciate that song?
Amen.
That's a true song. But I want that lying rascal to know that as a congregation, by the grace of God, we're done with him.
Amen.
We're through with him. We ain't listening to his lies no more. Do you want to make that commitment this morning? Satan, I'm done with you. He's lied to you. He's cheated you. He's tormented you. And he's going to do it right on and right on. But know this. I ain't listening to it. I'm done with that rascal. How about you?
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I want you to start all over and sing that song again. And I want you to sing it like you believe it with all you've got this morning. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise. You love him with all your heart.
You can call me crazy. You can say I'm a fool. I'm not saying it's easy. Sometimes it seems so cruel. Oh, but I remember where I came from and what you put and I'm saying it's over. Devil, I'm saying we're through.
You've had your chance to make something out of my life. And you turned me. Exactly what to do. Oh, and won't you turn to my Jesus? He will make you brand new. When you tell him it's over, you tell the devil we're through.
Sing it with us this morning.
Now I'm giving to Jesus. saying it's over. Devil, I'm saying we're through.
Oh, and I'm saying it's over.
Devil, I'm saying.
Good riddance, old man. Now I've got a real husband. I'm in a happy marriage to Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord today? Praise the Lord. Let's turn to the Song of Solomon, if you would, chapter 4, verse 7. Brother Louis, you mentioned about the graduates. I guess you mentioned that already. Certainly want to say congratulations to all the graduates here at the church and many more that's coming along, and some of you that's still in classes of this and that and the other. We're all still in the school of life, so hopefully we'll all be able to graduate with honors out of that life. Amen. Amen. God bless each of you graduates, and have a Bible for you over in the library. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 7. Thou art all fair, my love, and there is no spot in thee. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse, with me from Lebanon. Look from the top of Amana, and from the top of Shinir and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards. Notice it's plural. The lion's dens, and from the mountains, plural, of the leopards. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished, isn't it amazing how he keeps repeating these things to her? Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices. Now, come on, let's get real. Did the devil ever tell you that? The devil ever whispered them sweet nothings to you, and you as his romainer? That's a Kentucky word for romance. So the devil ever pull you up real close and say, oh, I love to cuddle you. You are so sweet. You're such a darling. He hated you. I said he hated you. He hated your existence, and he hated you even more when God started dealing with you. But let us say back to him today, we also hate you. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we love you today. We thank you so much for your word. Thank you for all the wonderful things that you've done for us, Lord. We're so happy to be standing here today in your presence, to know that we've been delivered from the union of that old marriage. I pray, Lord, that you'd take your word today and speak to us afresh. Father, as we stand here, we know that our needs are many, but our needs all coupled together and bound together with all the believers around the world, if they would amount to millions of needs. You would be able to meet them all in a moment of time and not take away one bit of your power from what you had before they were all ever met. That's how great and mighty that you are. So we pray that you be mindful of us today, Lord. Speak to us from your word. May we get something of eternal value out of our gathering together today. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. I'd like to speak to you again today on the wedding night. I trust you're enjoying yours. To be married to the virtuous Son of God, such a wonderful honor. To be identified with him in his resurrection, to think of what he has done for us. I marvel at it myself. It's one of the great miracles of eternity that's been reflected down through what God has done. And I hope that we never get tired of hearing it talked about. I hope we never get tired of experiencing it. As we were looking at last night, that Solomon, being that he was a king, not of a Levitical order, he had the ability to be able to marry any woman that was not married. The priest of the Old Testament could only marry certain women. The high priest, again, was put into a different category, to where he could only marry a woman which had not been married before, or a woman which had not been espoused to a man. And he could only marry a woman which was of his own family and of his own blood, his own type. And we know that God was doing a mirror of a great picture. We know in many of the symbols of the feast and things that God did in the Old Testament, it was an image of that which was to come. We know in the book of Jeremiah that he speaks about Israel, and he said that Israel was his first fruits. And we know the first fruits was the very, very first part of the dough, which was used in making the shewbread for the table of the tabernacle. It was also part of the corn, the wheat, and the different elements that was used, that was taken from the first fruits of the field. And in there is the picture of the elect. The first fruits are the very best, or those which come to maturity first, showing that there will be more come in the same cycle. And we know that God was doing that in the types of the Old Testament. So whenever he did this in the Levitical order, it was for Israel as well, but it was for a symbolism in a higher order, which is the order of Melchizedek. So our Lord Jesus, if he was going to marry us, as we just heard the song saying, yet we were joined to the devil, and we know that by natural birth that we were, how is he ever going to justly be able to bring us to a state of perfect union and be able to look at us and say, thou art all fair, my love, and there is no spot in thee? And then he would come to Ephesians 5, come to Colossians 3:10, come to Ephesians 2, come to the different places in the New Testament and tell us that we're unreprovable, unblameable before him in love, without fault, that he will present to himself a church that has neither spot nor wrinkle nor any such thing. Nothing actually attributed to her that she is guilty of any wrongdoing. How in the world could that be when we are everyone born in sin, actually conceived by the wrong way, and yet God is going to present to himself a people like that? Absolutely, because he said so. Now, let me rehearse these scriptures here in Leviticus 21:12, speaking of the high priest. Neither shall he go out of the sanctuary nor profane the sanctuary of his God, for the crown of the anointing oil of his God is upon him. I am the Lord. He shall take a wife in her virginity, a widow or a divorced woman, or profane or an harlot. These shall he not take, but he shall take a virgin of his own people to wife. Now notice how that the high priest is placed in this particular category, even above his brothers. So his wife must also be in a higher category than the wife of the regular priest and the wife of the regular Israelite. Now, an Israelite would be able to marry a woman which had been divorced. In the Old Testament, it was allowed. So a regular Israelite would be allowed to be able to marry a woman which had been divorced. A regular priest would be allowed to take a woman which had been the wife of a previous priest. He could also take a woman which had been engaged, and during the engagement, the husband had died, or the espoused husband. But yet the high priest could not do it. Now, if he was in a higher category, you agree that he was, then also his wife must be placed in a higher category as well. Now, I realize it causes many folks to stumble because they really don't understand the difference between the bride and the church. But it's simply by God's own choice. It was not me, it was not you, it was not Brother Branham that designated the choice in the bride and the church. It was God himself that done that. He did it in the Old Testament, as I just quoted to you, Jeremiah 2, where that he said that he had chosen Israel and they were a first fruit. So it was the first nation that God picked, a nation out of a nation, showing in a symbol what he's going to do in a higher form to the Gentiles, in that he'll put people out of them nations and he will make them a people for his name's sake. So Israel then in the Old Testament was the first fruits, or the type of God doing this great work. And we know that the bride is the first fruits of those who have received the resurrection power. As the Lord Jesus was the first of those from the dead, so the bride is the first of the consummation of the regeneration. By that I mean that God has raised a people out of darkness and completely redone their lives, regenerated them, showing the whole creation will follow the bride in that same step. The earth is going to follow what God has done for you. All the animals, all the botany life, all the animal kingdom, all of that will follow what God has done in you, because you are the first fruits of what God has done in the mortal realm. That makes sense to you. So what God will do in a first fruit shows that he will do it in the completion of the harvest. So we groan within ourselves, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. And we know that the whole creation also groans, and the whole creation, you may not understand this, but the whole creation can rejoice today, because sons and daughters of God have already been returned in their soul to the Garden of Eden. You may not be able to hear it. We may not be able to comprehend and understand what they are doing, but all creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, waiting for what? The manifestation of the sons of God. Why then? They are the first fruits. When God brings the sons of God to that place, botany life, the animal kingdom, everything else knows, they will follow. We are on our way, church. Now, watch as God now changes the order, and he comes from the Levitical order to the order of Melchizedek. It is still a holy order that requires certain things that must be met. And in that, of course, the Lord Jesus, if he's going to get a bride, if he's going to marry a wife, and he did, he began it 2,000 years ago. Now, in the type, Israel was the wife of God in the Old Testament. But once Israel got away from the promise of God and actually was able to cross the line, there was no reconciliation, because they were under the blood or the atonement of an animal. But God in his mercy wanted to introduce an atonement which was higher, which was his own creative blood through the Lord Jesus. So he began the new creation, as he did, as we looked at it last night, Matthew chapter 1 verse 18. So when God begins to begin the new creation is this. It is a God race. But it is not simply that God is bringing deity upon the earth in angelic form. God is not bringing deity upon the earth in theophanic form, but God is bringing deity upon the earth in human form. This is the new creation, and this is where it starts with the Lord Jesus. So he walks upon the earth as a man. He is the pure, virtuous Son of God, lives a holy life. Then the deity of God comes in him when he's baptized at the River Jordan. You believe that? Now, he was already the Word. We know that. He was the purity of the Word. But the fullness of the Godhead bodily comes in him at the river. Now, here it becomes to where that the new race is now crowned. What is it? The second Adam now receives his crowning, and he received it at the River Jordan. What was his crowning? It was the very life of God himself. He did not have a portion the way you and I have. Now, you could take a drop of water out of the ocean, and you'd be able to analyze that and go to the different chemicals and all that that's in it by chemists, and they would be able to analyze that. Now, if they would be able to go down into the abyss of the same ocean, Atlantic or Pacific, Mediterranean, whatever more, and they would go down 100 feet deep or a mile deep, and they would pull out of there, they're going to find pretty much the exact same chemistry that would be down there that would be in the drop that was on the beach where you were staying at. And they were the very same thing it is with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Do we have the volume that he had? We do not. But you look at it, it's the exact makeup, it's the exact spiritual chemistry that was what he had. What do we receive? A portion of the Holy Ghost, but he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But that does not change the race. So if we would remove the drop out of the ocean, or if we would go down into the abyss and would be able to analyze it, put both of them under a microscope and move the microscopes around, would you be able to tell which one was the drop, which one was a foot from the top, or which one was a half a mile deep? More than likely not, because in the chemistry it will tell exactly the same thing. And it's the same with the bride of Jesus Christ, that in her is the very power of God that raised Jesus from the dead. Don't let me stagger you, but the very resurrection power that will raise you from the dead, if you've got the Holy Ghost, is already in you this morning. It is not something exterior. It is not something that's in heaven that's going to come to you. If you've got the Holy Ghost, it's already come to you already. And the power that will change your body is living in you this morning. Praise be to God. Now, but what is it? It's a smaller portion for sure. It's not the same element or power, rather, excuse me, but it is the same chemistry and the same makeup, the same element that was in his body, but he had the measure beyond measure. You could not measure what was in him because he was the fullness of God. Now, in that, so we look at the bride and we see that she has now become a part of that new race by the new birth. So God wants to marry you and make you more than a church. Now, to be a church, you come to God, you receive him as your Savior, you receive something that he offers you, which is actually not your own. Now, the way the church preaches salvation is pretty good, really, for them. It's a good category for them. It don't fit me, but it fits them. The way they preach salvation is that it's something that's apart from you. It's something that you do not deserve. It's something that you can never be good enough to get. It's something that God offered it to you. It's a whosoever will thing. And with that, I totally agree. But that will not work for the bride, because the bride is not whosoever will. It's him that will before you will, before you had a will. It's not whosoever will at all. Oh, but I must give my will. Yes, and you will if your name is on the book. You definitely will give your will. But the way they preach it, it is something that is beyond them. It is something that they're of this evil, evil tribe of the devil. And they belong to this evil, wicked clan of the devil. Amen. And there's nothing in them that's like God. Amen to that again. And there's nothing in them that they could ever do to be worthy. Amen again. But Jesus said he came to this earth to seek and save that which was lost. Not somebody that's looking for salvation, that God will give it to them, but somebody that was lost in the beginning with the fall of man when Adam forfeited the Lamb's book of life. You're going to preach with me this morning. Now, that was before you ever even had a choice. You mean to tell me that you were lost before you even had a choice to know whether you wanted to be lost or not? You were lost because your identity was traded off when your identity in the book of life was forfeited by the head of the first race. So the head of the first race, by example, by standing there, could represent the entirety of the race. You remember whenever Paul stands before Porcius Festus, and he stands before him and he said, "Will you go with me to Jerusalem to be judged?" And Paul said, "I will not." He said, "I will not. I am standing before Caesar's judgment seat." Now, Caesar was not there, and Caesar actually did not make that judgment seat, but it was a judgment seat that was set aside under Caesar's name. And when Porcius Festus sat in that judgment seat, he was actually sitting in Caesar's stead. He was sitting in Caesar's place, and he said, "I am before Caesar's judgment seat." So his representative was as if though Caesar himself was there. So by representation, when Adam sinned, by representation, he represented you. He represented me, and we all fell with him. Is that right? So that was the head of the first race. Now God is going to make a new race in order to bring them into his very being. So what does he do? He creates another Adam. He makes them the head of another race. A new race. And what kind of race is it? It is a God people. They are a mixture together of divinity and humanity. And that's why you can be around Christians sometimes, and they can make mistakes, and they can fall short of the glory of God, and yet out of them can come forth such wonderful, extreme things of God. And you say, "How in the world can they do that? I've seen them make mistakes. I've seen them fall short of the glory of God. And yet out of them can come such wonderful things." It's because they're in the contrast in between divinity and humanity. Are they going to make mistakes? They will. But if they're really true and genuine, they will repent of them and make them right. Does the humanity take away from the divinity? It does not. Does the divinity override and completely annihilate the humanity? It does not. What's going to happen is when the race is terminated the way the Lord Jesus was. Now think of it. We mentioned him last night about him receiving the fullness of the Holy Ghost. But let me just go back there again for a moment. That in him, I know it staggers people and folks don't want to say it that way, but the body of Jesus, that literal body, was not God. That's why, because it had to die. Don't let that stumble you. It was only that way for 33 years. But after the body was crucified on the cross and raised from the dead, then that body actually moves into the realm of being
obeying God as well. Do you understand? Oh, hallelujah. Your body's going to follow the same way. Your soul has already moved into the realm of the God realm, and your body is waiting, hallelujah, for the change to come to where your body can move beyond mortality, beyond Reagan, beyond Whitson, beyond Horn, into being reborn into the realm of God. Amen. Why? Because you're following your head. Praise be to God. So the body of the Lord Jesus, as human as it was, God raises it from the dead. He raises his own body from the dead. And then he takes his body into that God realm. Don't you understand? That's where you're going. That's where we are going. What is it? We're following our head. By representation, Adam represented me. By representation, the second Adam, the Lord Jesus, represented me. Amen. He took his body into a glorified state. I'll take mine the same way. Watch. Now, from the church age book, he says, there you can see that though man was of the old order or creation, now in union with Christ, he has become the new creation of God. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Notice where you're created in, not in your mother's womb. You're not created in the church. You're not created in the message. Well, you know, I believe the message. I play a tape every day. It takes more than that. You have to be created in Christ Jesus. And he is your head. Notice, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, whom God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Again, Ephesians 4:24, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Colossians 3:10, and we have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. What are we talking about? A new creature. It's not the same old person made over. Well, God said, well, I want to save your soul. I want to save your soul. Careful now. Well, some of you are getting quiet on the Baptist. God, save my soul. Really? And what does that mean exactly? God, redeem me. And what does that mean exactly? Salvation and redemption. So, the way some preach it, of course, is that it's that unmerited thing that you receive, which you're not a part of. And yet God redeems you. How could he redeem you if you wasn't his? In the Old Testament, if a brother lost property, and he was poor, and he could not be able to redeem that property, there had to be one of his brothers, or his uncles, or his cousins, that would be able to redeem his property. Why? Family. Family. You can only go in the fullness of redemption, amen, if you're part of the family of Jesus Christ. That is, before you ever was ever lost. Or you say, no, now, Brother Dan, wait, let me help you with that. No, you can't help me with that because you don't believe it right. In order to be redeemed by a family member, you cannot become a family member after you're saved and then be redeemed. You've got the cart before the horse. You've got to be kin, and then you're, amen, and then you are a candidate for redemption. Oh, and I'm lost without God. No hope, no help, no seed, no nothing. And then God redeem it. No, you've got the story all backwards. It's because of a something redeemable in you. When you was out there, what was it? That seed of God that was to be you before the foundation of the world. Oh, hallelujah. Watch this. He continues on with this in the church age book. This new creation is not the old creation made over, which is the way a lot of folks, even the message, believe in redemption and salvation. They believe it's the old creation made over, just patched new, just forgiven, and just pick it up and wash it off a little bit. And no, you're wrong. It's not the old creation made over. Oh my. Or it could not be called a new creation. That's exactly what it says it is. A new creation, it is another creation distinct from the old one. No longer is he dealing by the ways of the flesh as that was Israel. He chose Abraham and of Abraham's issue to the godly Isaac line, but now out of every kindred, tribe, and nation, he has purposed a new creation. And that new creation is not black, white, red, or yellow. It is a creation of the seed life from the DNA of God. Right, gene expression. He was God created in the form of man. Oh my Lord. He was God created in the form of man. Wonder what the Holy Ghost is then. Now let's go back to simple, simple terms. Y'all help me here, okay? Horses give birth to horses. Dogs give birth to
dogs.
Cats give birth to
cats.
And if God was to ever give birth, what would God give birth to? What? Go ahead and say it. I know it chokes you. Go ahead and say it. Sinners? Liars? People that's unworthy? People that's, you know, they're just, no. That's not what God would give birth to. Deity can only give birth to deity. But if deity was to give birth to that deity and the birth would take place in a body of humanity, does that take away from the divine birth? When Mary gave birth to the Lord Jesus and laid him in a manger, because he was in the manger, does that mean he was not divine? Because God gave birth to you by the Holy Ghost and had that birth to take place in a manger called a human body, does that not mean it's still divine? Hallelujah. You get your eyes on the manger. You get your eyes on the body. You need to get your eyes on the birth. Oh my. Let's look in St. John 3, verse 3. We all know this scripture. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Actually, in the Greek, the Aramaic, when Jesus spoke this, he does not say it quite like the English translates it, to be born again. It makes it seem as if so, that it's the same person that must come through a different process and produce a birth to the same individual, born again. But actually, the words mean born from above. Except a man be born from above. Now, not the same person entering in. This is what Nicodemus thought. He'd make a good ecumenical teacher today, wouldn't he? How can a man enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born again? Which is basically the way that some teach salvation. So Jesus said, no, that's not the way that it is. It is that you must be born from above. As your natural birth brings you into the realm of mortality and humanity. You're hid in your mother's womb for all of those months going on, and you hear noises on the outside, but it's a total different world to you. You're not even conscious in that sense to be able to discern what it is. But you know, you imagine coming out of that world, which is all that you've known, and all the fluid and all the blood, and you're attached to your mother by the navel cord, and you're receiving the nutrients from her body, and all of a sudden something begins to move you, and you're just unaware of what's going on, but you feel the squeeze going on you, and you feel yourself, your heart rate is accelerating, your blood pressure is going up and down, and you're moving down as what is called the birth canal, and you're fixing to be born. It's a scary time for you. Not near as scary as it is for your mama, but it's pretty scary for you too, I would imagine. So you're coming down into that time and you're going to be born into another world. You are already jumping muscles and jerking and you're already human life, but you're not breathing yet. You're not breathing yet. So you don't have the breath of life and it starts moving in and something is pushing you and your mother's muscles is jerking and my, these noises and all this is going on and all of a sudden you're born and here you are. Now you're in the transition from one dimension to another. You've now been disconnected from your mother. Hallelujah. You have now been disconnected from your mother, but you've still got to take the breath of life. And now you become a living soul. And that immortality, or that soul rather, goes inside of that body. You have now been birthed into another realm. You was this close to it all the time. Only thing was separating it was all the fluid and the blood and the skin of your mother. You was right, Lord, children. I wish you could understand this morning. That dimension of heaven, it ain't a million miles away. It's right here around us in a faster dimension this morning. Lord Jesus. So what is the new birth? It's the beginning of new spiritual life. So as we were born from our mothers with a natural birth of C-section and whatever it was that we were brought forth, and then we started breathing on our own, they started treating us now as a newborn, because in the mother's womb we were not a newborn. Although we were alive and there was something there, yet we were still not quite the same, because once we took the breath of life, then we became a living soul. Now mortality becomes into a greater realm, and we start learning day by day by day, senses and emotion and touch and anguish and feelings and hurt and on and on and on, and we're coming alive. But you never know that unless you was born. It's the same way spiritually. When we become born by the Spirit of God, we start growing and growing and growing, and then we start perceiving and understanding, and God goes to revealing His Word to us. Oh my! Until eventually we get to the place we're old enough to get married. Oh, hallelujah. Nobody in the right mind but want to marry a newborn baby girl. Nobody in the right mind but want to marry a baby girl 3 or 4 years ago. You have to wait till she grows up. Let me tell you something. The bride's been around this message long enough. We've been little girls. We've argued over this and that. It's time we grow up. So we can get. You see, kind can only mate with kind. Wouldn't it be real peculiar if one of these young men here today would come to me after service and say, "Brother Donnie, I found me a girlfriend. And I'm kind of thinking about getting married and want to talk to you about it. And I know you're going to Russia, and I know you got some meeting schedule and all that, and we want to get a date from you." So, okay, all right, let's talk about it. And who's the girl? Oh, it's not a girl, actually. I've found this horse that I love. And it's a beautiful walking horse. I've heard you say that you like the walking horses. And it's a beautiful walking horse. I mean, she's so beautiful. She's black. She comes straight from Murfreesboro. And she comes out of this certain bloodline. And the dam's this and the father's this. And oh my, whenever I first saw her, I just swooned. I just fell in love. What's wrong, friends? You mean this is not a wedding you would want to attend? Really? Nor would I perform it. Will you now take this long-nosed, four-legged horse to be your lawful wedded wife? It's the same way in people trying to marry Christ the Word to a denominational bastard Christian. He can only love and mate with his own kind. Amen. You'll agree with that. Well, you're not. You will agree. It would be totally insane for somebody to marry a hog or a dog or a pig, although some have. They might not have noted, but they wound up figuring out that old gal was a sow. Ooh, preach, Brother Donnie. They wound up finding out that old boy that knew how to buy them roses and this and that and other. They finally wound up, they wish they'd got the roses instead of him. Come on now, preach with me today. They thought they was giving this loving so-and-so. My, did they get a total surprise. But you see, the Lord Jesus will have no surprises. So for him to stand before the altar of God with a denominational Christian, which is not even baptized in his name, doesn't even believe in the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, denies Malachi 4, denies many of these words. He will not marry such a specie. Amen. He must marry his own kind, and he is the Word. What will his bride have to be? The Word. He was the Word made flesh. He ain't going to come and marry a Bible. He wants to marry the Word made flesh. That's what he was. Amen. Don't get mad and don't misunderstand me. If you do get mad, suit yourself. Jesus ain't marrying a tape. He ain't marrying a tape or a tape player. Now, he will marry somebody that feeds on what's on them tapes and becomes what the tapes teach. That's a different thing. Now, that's the message becoming flesh. He ain't coming to marry a Bible. When the rapture takes place, your Bibles will be left here and they'll be annihilated by Russia. When they go to blowing up America, my Bible, if I'm alive, my Bible will burn and become nothing but fodder and ash. Why? Because he's not coming for the written word. He's coming for the word made flesh. I'll go and my Bible will stay. I'll go and my tapes will stay. I'll go and this building will stay. I hope I don't go and some of you stay. Y'all like the other two parts. Look, friends, we're beyond playing church. You need to make sure that that old husband of yours is dead. Jesus ain't a flirter. Some men and women in this day, they don't care one bit to flirt with somebody else's wife or husband. Uh-oh, you're getting quiet. There is a behavior that a married woman ought to have. There is a behavior that a married man ought to have. Jesus has that behavior. So if you are married still to the first nature, he will not flirt with you. He will speak to you nice and kind, but he's treating you as a married woman. But if he can get you to reason with him and believe his word, and you permit him to kill your old man. Spiritual death moves upon that nature by your permission. Allow me and I'll loose you from this marriage. Take it from me, Lord Jesus. Take it from me. And by spiritual death, then your old husband is dead. Amen. And then you're saying, happy day, happy day. If you don't feel like that, you still love him. Let me tell you one thing. If you're still crying over your first husband, I doubt he's still dead. Come on now, saints. If you're really set free from that old man, it makes you happy. It makes you so glad that the touch of sin has left your nature. That old sin nature that you was born with, it had the rule over you. It was a demanding tyrant. But now here you are in this precarious situation. Your nature's gone. Oh my Lord. Your nature is gone. Now remember, you're still a human being, so you still have human nature. I'm not talking about human nature. I'm talking about your spiritual output of what you are in the realm of light. Now here you are. Your husband's dead. Your first nature's dead. What in the world needs to happen to you? A new birth. You didn't realize it, but packing around in you your whole life was this little hibernation of the seed of life. Oh, glory. But you see, you can't have two husbands at one time. Why are y'all getting scareder and scareder and more scareder? Notice Jesus in St. John 1:11 says, he came into his own and his own received him not. Or rather, John says this, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become But again, you have to watch the English language, because it seems as if though you're passing from one thing to another and changing species. But when you look at the original root of this word, it is come to pass. He actually gave the ability to come to pass. Don't you understand what's going on? You all are coming to pass. You are coming to pass. As verses can be hundreds of years apart. Isaiah, what is it? Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 and 2. When it talks about him there, it talks about the first coming of the Lord Jesus and stops and right in the middle of that next verse and divides that verse, and 2,000 years have been between that verse. And it still hasn't happened yet. It's the same way with you. You're in the process of coming to pass, but yet you're in stages of coming to pass. So God, amen, God gave you a birth and started the great divine spiritual truth revealed in your soul. You started coming to pass, but guess what? You're still coming to pass, because you are prophecy. You are a word from God, and some of you will be coming to pass, hallelujah, the day of the rapture, but you will come to pass. Oh. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us. Wow. Isn't this the same word that was used about Jesus? The only begotten? Well, that was true at that time. He was the only begotten, but he ain't no more. Why? The family's still getting bigger. The same father that begat Jesus begat Donnie. Whatever my word name is. Look at the word begotten. To begat again. To be born again. To produce again. To be born anew. Oh. How did this come to pass? He's looking for a wife. A wife. 1 Peter 1:22, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love to the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. So our first birth was from corruptible seed. I appreciate all that medical science has been able to advance in this day, don't you? Surgeries that they can do and great things that they can do, but they will never find the key to eternal health.
That's right.
Or eternal life.
Right.
They'll find surgeries, and I'm grateful. They can go in there and part B bad, and they can go in there and fix it. I'm grateful to God, but you still age. You can take all the vitamin A, B, C, D, Y, X, O, T, O, 3, O, 5, O, 8, or whatever more. You can take herbs, so you ain't nothing but 1 6-foot herb capsule, and you're still going to get old and die.
Right.
Now, you might die more healthy, but you're still going to die. Brother Doug McHugh used to say, my, you don't eat no chocolate, you don't eat no sugar, you don't need this, that, and other to expand your life, and you step out in front of a car and get run over. What good's it all done you, he said. I'm not telling you now not to take care of yourself. But you realize doctors will never, science will never find the realm of eternal life. It's not in their scopes. It's not in their stethoscopes. It's not in their laboratory. They'll not be able to break into it. Amen. There's only one source, and that's God. Amen. They will never be able to do it. They're trying to study. They're doing their best to figure out how to prolong us and how to give artificial intelligence. My, my. But we are living in the age when we are drinking from the fountain of youth. Poor old Ponce de Leon, if he'd went to Jeffersonville instead of going to Florida, he'd have been a whole lot better off. You realize it is in man's desire to live forever. It is in woman's desire not to age, not to get wrinkles, not for her hair to turn gray. Let me tell you something this morning. And there is a place that you can drink from that you won't turn gray. But it ain't in this life. Notice James chapter 1 verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Now, some of you Free Will Baptist message folks can't take that. I understand that, but I thought we was Bible believers around here. Of his own will. Look at the meaning of the word will. to will deliberately. Have a purpose. Be minded of a willing as an affection to desire. His own will beget to bring forth from the womb, to give birth, to produce. The act of begetting described by God. Well, I can understand the father, but where's the mother? If God begat us, you believe he did? Well, I can see the father. Where's the mother? If I was brought forth from the womb, where was the womb? Y'all ain't even batting your eyes. Are you afraid they'll give you away? We're not having an auction this morning. You're the ice better. It's not that complex. Where's the womb? Right here. He brought forth and begat my seed from within me. I am packing this morning the Christ child. Woo! Glory to God. I'm going to go ahead and say it. Except this one is not the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Donnie Christ. Woo. Jesus has already fulfilled his part, and now you are the Messiahs, the anointed ones. Oh my goodness, that's heavy, ain't it? 1 John chapter 3 verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil. The devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. But on the other face of this, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. How many of y'all make mistakes? How many of y'all do things that's intentionally wrong? Sometimes you have to repent. Okay, so I guess the scripture means that nobody here is saved, including me. You got to divide the mother from the baby. Woo! Glory to God. That's a good one, Lord. Thank you. You got to divide the mother from the baby. My body is packing the sperma of God, but it is not the sperma of God. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Amen. And commit is bring forth, to make a thing happen out of something. To make one do something, cause one to do, to be the author of a thing. How can the part that's born of God be the author of sin? It cannot. So whatever about you and I is born of God cannot sin. Amen. 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 You understand? Shouldn't be that complicated. It should be pretty simple. John says, whosoever is born of God doth not, not maybe, not perhaps, possibly, doth not commit, originate. Sin does not come from that part which is born of God. They cannot, no more than God can sin. Oh my, for his seed. Look at the Greek word, sperma. The semen, viril, the product of the semen, seed, children, offspring, progeny, family, race, posterity, whatsoever possesses vital force of life, giving power, the Holy Spirit, the divine energy operating within the soul by which we are regenerated. The divine energy operating within the soul. Well, not the body. The body. God isn't born of God. That's why you've got to make this body obey the word. That's why you have to make this body come to church sometimes when it don't feel like it. You have to make it pray when it don't feel like it. You have to make it raise its hands when it says, I'm tired. But the life, divine energy inside of you says, raise them hands. Raise them hands. Clap them hands. Why? You have an animation of divine life. This is the part that the Lord Jesus looks at and says, my love, you are sinning. Oh, my fair one, there is no spot in thee. Come away with me from Lebanon. You're unrebukable, unreprovable, unblameable in my sight. Isn't it amazing how the same preacher's mouth can come both blessing and scalding in a matter of minutes? And both of you got what you needed. The baby and the mother. But if you're not careful, the devil will try to funnel that thing. And when I see he's talking about you, you ain't a seed of God. You ain't born again. He's saying, shut up, devil. We're through. I'm sick of you interpreting the word to me. I'm sick of you telling me that Brother Donnie don't love me and that I'm not part of this church. God don't love me. I'm sick of the devil. We're through. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot. This is you in the first place. He cannot sin because he is born of God. Don't you see why we're hungering for a body change? We want mama to be like baby. This is what we're longing for, Brother Tim, is to get to that place where we will no longer deal with mortality. You know it as well as I do. It's a love-hate relationship we have ourselves. I love me. And I hate me. I'm my biggest enemy. And next to my soul, I'm my biggest asset. How am I going to study without these fingers? How am I going to read quotes without these eyes? How am I going to look up scripture without these eyes? How am I going to be able to hear? How am I going to be able to do all these things without this? It is an asset brought subject to the Spirit of God. But does it get in my way? It does. I live in this law of contrast between me and my mama. This is the earth, the womb which bears the seed of God. I need this in order to live. I need this in order to express God in the realm of mortality. But it's also the very thing that gets in my way. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. And what part of you is born of God? Don't take my word for it. Let me read it to you from Question and Answers. What difference is it between the body and the soul and the spirit? Well, the body is the flesh that you look at that must rot. It's real comforting, isn't it? It was born by sexual desire of father and mother. And y'all didn't get it the first time, so he repeats it again. It must rot. Amen. It's no good. Amen. Therefore, in the new birth, in the resurrection, when you're brought forth again in a new body, it'll be God's creative power that'll speak like he did to Adam, and you'll come forth. Explain the difference between the body and the spirit and the soul, and this is the answer to that. Yep, that's the answer. That's the answer between those of you that are truly born again and married to Jesus Christ, and you stand there perfectly sinless. Amen. And yet you need your hide fried every week. Amen. Anybody here still get lazy and slothful and don't want to go to church and don't want to do right and do this, that, and the other? Well, what part about you is that? This old stinking rotten thing right here. Oh, I know there's some of the folks in the message, they don't believe they got a black dog. Well, the one of the preachers that's barking the loudest against this is the one that I see the black dog screaming the loudest at. Call it whatever you want to, friends. You're living in an unconverted house. If you ain't, get rid of them glasses. If your body's already glorified, cancel all your doctor's appointments because you don't need them no more. Won't be no doctors in the resurrection. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to start the line and we're all going to walk. Everybody's going to follow me. For those of you that are glorified, I'm going to smack you right in the face. Everybody else is going to get in line behind me and they're going to do the same thing. And we'll see how many of you last before your Holy Ghost seal breaks. Come on, face the facts. You're like all the rest of us. That flesh of yours ain't born again. It's rotten. It's low down. It's got to be made subject to the Word and kept there. Can I go a bit further? Only the seed can be reborn. As the eternal Logos God manifested in the Son, and in Jesus dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And that eternal one was the Father manifest in flesh, and thereby gained the title of Son. Even so we, eternal in His thoughts, in our turn. Children, do you understand where you are? Amen. This is your turn. Amen. Paul had his turn. Luther had his. Brother Branham had his. Brother Dave, this is ours. This is our turn. Praise God. In our turn became the many-membered spoken word seed manifested in flesh. And those eternal thoughts now manifest in flesh are the sons of God. Even as we are so called. We did not become seed by the rebirth. We were seed and therefore were reborn. For only the elect can be reborn. Because we were seed is the reason we could be quickened. In non-seed there is nothing to quicken. Now that don't mean that people out here ain't going to be saved. That don't mean that millions and millions of church people aren't going to be saved. They are going to be saved, but not quickened. There's nothing to quicken in non-seed. Abraham could see three walking down the road one day and say, my Lord. Lot could see two and say, my Lords. Abraham could hear the message of separation and separate himself. Lot and his wife had the office problem. I don't understand why we can't do this. And how come we can't do that? How come we got to quit this? I don't understand. It's like my life hanging around the same message. One had seen, the other didn't. Oh, my. Oh, my. Hold this carefully in mind. Now we take the next step. How many wants to go the next step? Redeem means to buy back. It restores to the original owner. God, by His death, the shed blood bought back. His own. The kind of woman that the high priest must marry. His own. He bought back that spoken word, seed, bride. My sheep hear my voice word and they follow me. You always were a sheep. You never were a pig. The problem is this. Your old husband had you eaten slop. And in your spirit, in your memory, you remember eating slop. Sucking on cigarettes, drinking, shooting stuff up your veins. And in your mind, it's still there. And the devil said, say that was you. No, it wasn't me. It was the same house. It was the same affections. It was the same memory. But that was not me. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's why I have to be born again. So, Brother Donnie, do we come to the earth saved? No, you come to the earth lost. Lost in the sense of the parable of the 10 coins. Lost in the sense of the parable of the prodigal son. So when the prodigal son was lost, did he become a pig? And then the father changed him from a pig back to a son again. Remember, Jesus is preaching the story of redemption in the prodigal son. It is not a story of salvation of a sinner. It is not the story the way many folks preach salvation for the lost. You've totally got the story wrong, and you are handling Jesus' words and misinterpreting what Jesus himself said. It is the story of redemption in the prodigal son. He got away from his father, but he was of his father's genes. And he got away from his father, but he come to himself and said, I've got to go back to my father. He did not turn into a pig and then turn back to a human once he left the pig pen. He was a son when he left. He was a fallen son in the pig pen. He was a fallen son on the way back, and he was a restored son in his father's presence. But he always was a son. What made you always is the deposit. You've heard me tell it before that we used to live there in Kentucky, and we was kids. The closest store was a place called Happy Top. Happy Top. Wow, I just wonder if that has something to do with my destiny. I live near Happy Top now, I'm in Happy Valley. Back then, the Cokes and Pepsi bottles and all them had it printed on the side, as some of you remember. We used to pick them up along the way to take them up to Happy Top to sell them. A couple of cents a piece, something like that. But it had written on the bottle, no deposit, no return. No deposit, no return. Now, you might pick up a Yahoo bottle, or you might pick up a knee-high red or an orange or some of them, and you want to try to take it in and cash it in. You know what? They wouldn't give you the 2 pennies for it because there hadn't been a deposit paid on it. Now, on the Coke, on the Pepsi, on the Dr. Pepper, on the RC, on some of them others, there was a deposit paid already whenever it was bought. And because the deposit had already been paid, you could bring it back and get the deposit back. No deposit, no return. It's the same way with the seed gene of God. I know this person, they are so sweet and they are so kind. Brother Donnie, they're a lot sweeter than you are, and they're nicer preachers than you are, and everything. It's not how sweet you are. Honey would outdo all of us. Praise the Lord. Well, I know so-and-so. I mean, you ought to go to this other church in Tri-Cities. They got so much love. But has the deposit been paid? That's really what matters. They can be ooey-gooey. We're not making a chocolate pie. We're making a bride. Now, if you want to make a chocolate honey pie, then go ahead and mix all that sweet, gooey stuff together. But I want to be ready for a rapture. Amen. I'm not making a pie. I want to make a loaf of bread that can lay on the table of God. You never were a knee-high orange or a knee-high red turned into an RC or a Pepsi. That is impossible. For every kind of life produces the same kind, and there's no change in species. As we were in the thoughts of God, then expressed in flesh, there come a day when we had to would hear his voice, the word. And hearing that voice, become aware of our Father calling us. And recognize that we are sons of God. We heard his voice. We cried out as did the... as a prodigal son. Save me, oh my Father. I am returning to thee. Let me close with this. It's likened in a very, very simple story of a mother eagle who laid 2 eggs. And the farmer didn't have enough eggs to make a setting under a hen. So it goes up and grabs that seed of God, I mean that eagle. And he brings it down, he hands it a track or whatever more, and he comes down and he brings that into his hen house. So the hen can set on it. Now it's bigger, it's odd, it's a different color maybe. So one by one, them little chickens start coming out. Abraham back their head, boom, boom, boom. They're peeping their way out. Now that eagle with that big long beak, he goes, here I am. They know from the crack of the shell, this is a nut. One by one, them little duties. Again, a Kentucky slang for little baby chickens, duties. Some of you folks need to get a dictionary or something and understand how to talk around here. If you don't like the word duty, they also call them biddies. I'll say it for you Yankees. Them little chickens. One by one, they started leaving the nest. And the mama hen took them the best place she knew, the barnyard. Just so happened there was cows in the barnyard. All kinds of other animals. There was bugs. To her, a perfect food source. She knew under the hay was all kinds of bugs. She knew that under the planks in the barnyard was worms. I mean, she'd been there and done that. She'd been living in this. This is pretty much where she lived all of her life. So she takes all of her converts. Come on, honeys. Come on. Follow mama. So mama goes to scratching around. Oh, look at this worm. Oh, that protein. And when she raised up that board, out come a big black roach. Here one of them little bitties. That good, mama. That good. So here he comes. What's for lunch? Anybody got any leg of lamb? Roast beef? Tenderloin? I got blood on my mind. So his little half brothers and half sisters said, come over here, Bubby. Come over here, Bubby. Come over here, Bubby. Here's your roach. Oh, God. So he went ahead and ate it. Oh, I feel sick. But after a while, he got where he could stomach it. Like you did. You ain't going to sit here today and tell me whenever you was conscious of it and the first sin that you done in a conscious state, something didn't smite your heart. You was out there seeking for pleasure and running around and whatever more that you done, there was something in you all along that said, this ain't right. I shouldn't be doing this. But eventually all them bugs and them worms silenced the voice. But he was out there one day in the barnyard just kind of hanging around with all the rest of the chickens. And this mama knew in her mind she had another son. She said, I know I laid two eggs. And one of them eggs got lost from me. It's got to be somewhere. So she sets her wings. She goes down past the Presbyterian church. No, it wasn't in there. Sails over past United Methodist. Ah, there he was. Found some of you in a Pentecostal, some of you in a bar, wherever more. And here she comes, sailing. Oh, look at him. Poor little guy. He's my heart. He's my little dear one. Look at him. He's taking them big claws, which is used to be able to feed himself. Oh, no, he didn't do that, did he? Oh, he scratched out that dirt and ate a bug. Oh, my poor son. So I can see her. She sets her wings and swoops down in for a closer view. Yeah, that's my seat, all right. And she lets out a scream. Them chickens head out for this council meeting and that council meeting. They take off a running. They, Lord, have mercy. It's a call. It's a call. Run, run. Well, he don't know what a call is. He's just standing there saying, what is it? What is it? It's a sky falling. What is it? She screamed again. The prophet said he raised his eyes and he saw something like he wanted to be. What would make him want to be like that? It was born in him. And he heard that voice. It was something that echoed in him. What she was echoed in him. Hallelujah. He said, son, I'm your mother. And he said, yes, that sounds right. I always knew I didn't belong here. Mama, what can I do? Jump up on the fence post. I'll catch him. You imagine now. Boop, boop. I mean, he's a Methodist. He didn't believe in jumping. Glory to God. But Mama said, jump, son. Here he goes. Whoa. Now what? Hey, that pack of cigarettes in your pocket, and that won't fly. Get rid of it. Okay. Anything else? Them MP3s of rock and roll you got, and all them X-rated DVDs and VCRs and all that stuff you got, trash them. That porn you've been looking at on your smartphone ain't too smart. Okay, Mama, I'm about to fall. No, honey, you're fixing to fly high. If I can get you, oh, glory! If I can get you lightened up and your aerodynamics set in the wind. Oh, children, may the Spirit of God help us today. If you're not married, let Christ Jesus be born in you today. Let me close. You were born to your first husband. You were born married. You say, how do I get remarried? Get reborn. Quite simple. Get reborn. You're married to him how? By nature. You're rejoined by nature to your first husband. You'll be joined by nature to your second husband. And I only say second in relation to memory, because Acts is just your first husband in relation to seed. Don't you love him? Maybe some of you eagles sitting here today, you flew the coop many, many years ago, but you're going through that moping stage. Your victory ain't what it used to be, and your joy ain't what it used to be. Maybe you need to climb up on the rock and go to beating that crust off your head. Let the blood flow so you can have that joy restored back in your heart. Let's bow our heads together, shall we? Lord Jesus, Heavenly Fathers, we approach you today, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these simple illustrations. I know they've not been deep and profound and held us spellbound and all that, but it'll be simple stories that we'll remember, Lord, for a long, long time to come. If there's one sitting here today that's still a chicken, or let me say in the chicken yard, may they hear the eagle scream, Father. Maybe there's some of these eagles that they heard it years ago. They left that old barnyard and there's not a question in their mind what truth is. But through the business and the cares of life, they've just got so many things going on in their lives, Lord. Their joy, their strength needs to be renewed today. For each of us, I pray, Lord, that you would help us. Minister to us, Lord. Help us, Heavenly Father. We are in our wedding night. Oh, it's been ongoing for a long, long time for many of us.
Oh, praise God. We know for some the wedding festivities are going for 7 nights, actually, in a row. It would be one night after another for 7 nights. Some of them, they would consummate the marriage on the first night. For some, they would wait to the seventh. And yet, Lord, we know it's a very great symbol of your church ages. Down through the ages, you've been gathering a bride. So this wedding festival has been going on for 7 nights. And here we are in Laodicea in the nighttime. So it's our wedding night. Praise God. Lord Jesus, speak your words to our hearts, that we as your bride can surrender ourselves. Our pride, everything about us that hinders us, Lord. Help us, I pray, Father. You don't want to have to make us surrender. You want us to willingly do it, Lord. Oh, Father God, as I was sharing with some brothers today, when a Jewish man would prepare for marrying a bride, he would go and build a house if he didn't have one already. He would build that house and he would make the preparation. If he got it done soon enough, he would actually move in the house and live there maybe for 6 months or a year, whatever more, and wait for his bride. Then on the day of the parable in Matthew 25, as you gave the parable, how that the bridegroom had left and he went on his way to get the bride. That's actually what the parable unveils to us, we know. And he told the foolish virgins and the wise virgins, because they were waiting along the way. But in the parable, neither one of them was the bride type. He's going to get the bride. And they will be part of the procession. So we know that the day of the consummation of it, he would bring her to this house. Even though he might have been living in it for months. Staying in the bedroom, using the living room. But yet the day of the marriage or the day before, they would come in and they would redecorate it. And they would change the setting. Amen. And they would rename the bedroom to the bridal chamber. Praise God. Then he would go get his bride and he would bring her and move her across the threshold. And take her into this. The reason this has been renamed, it's because her manifestation has received its fullness. Lord, down through the ages, there were 7 church ages. And right at the end of this age, you allowed the prophet to call it the bride age. Well, it's not that we're out of the 7th age in time. It's just because the bride has come into full manifestation. And she's moving into the room where you've been all along. Praise God. But because she's coming to maturity, it's being called the bride age or the bride chamber. In time, it still fits in the 7th increment of the church age. But in eternity, it's already moved into our souls. Thank you, Father. And now we are enjoying the bridal chamber with our King. Praise God. The veil is dropped around us. Glory to God. His banner over us is love. And for where we look, we see the decoration that has now been changed from the touch of a bachelor. We see the decoration now that has been made for a bride and a groom. Praise the Lord. Help us today, Lord. I pray be mindful of those that are streaming also, Lord. You see their needs, those that are here this service in different parts of around the world. May you minister to your bride, Lord Jesus. We love you, Father. We have many needs. Sickness, physical things, spiritual things. But Lord, our greatest cry today would be closer to you. Lord, that we can be more submissive to you, Father. That the born again part can bring this outside body subject to the word. We know it's an animal and it must be treated as such. It's rotten. It's no good. Can't be trusted. It must be brought and made subject to the word. But we are doing our bodies the greatest favor we could ever do. Because we will lead them to a body change. Praise God. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Blessed God, Almighty, Omnipotent, Holy One. Bless your holy name, Lord God, Mighty Elohim. El Shaddai, El Konai, El Elyon, Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Can we just stand on our feet? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, Jesus. We exalt you today, Lord. Mighty God. Can we just raise our hands in the presence of the King? How honored we ought to be today, friends, to know that He has done a great work inside of us. He has made you new creation. The universe, if we could look into it, the prophet tells us that the earth, the world, may be millions of years old. Millions. Yet when Adam stepped out in the Garden of Eden, he did not know it had been made over. Not a new creation, but actually made over. Yet all of its scars, all of its fossils, all of those things were still beneath its surface. When Noah preached his message, and the earth tilted on its axis, and the caps froze over after the flood, and the earth tilted over in 23.5 degrees, and God began to move again, but it wasn't a new creation. When the blood dripped on it, it wasn't a new creation. Now that we're living on it, it ain't a new creation. But it's going to be after a while. Why? Because it's attributes of God. It's the same with you and I. So the earth still struggles. Oh, how we love spring and summer, don't we? Beautiful. Before we know it, these beautiful mountains around here start losing their leaves. And the cycle of death will come right on the earth again. Why? She's still under that old image. She's not been totally recreated. She gets renewed, but not recreated yet. It's the same with you. You can get renewed and feel better, and you can go down again, and then you feel better, and then you have trials and disappointments, and you go, Lord, what is it? You're getting renewed. What we're wanting is when we become that new creation. Can you imagine in heaven being for eternity? It's more my mind can comprehend. But you'll never, never be sad. Nobody will ever be depressed. There's going to be millions of people there. Nobody will ever have a short word with another. Nobody will ever get mad. Lord have mercy. Forget the gold. Forget the pearls. Forget all the rest of that stuff. Nobody's ever going to get mad. Nobody's going to hate nobody. Nobody's going to be sad. Nobody's going to be weary. That sounds like heaven to me. When will it happen? When all of us are recreated. How can you have problems with your wife or brothers and sisters you go to church with? Because this right here. This is still bears the old image. But thank God it's going to be changed. Would you do me a favor? If I had strength this morning, I'd love to be able to lay hands on each of you. Even if you're not sick, if you're not going through anything. Just to be able to place the blessing of God on your life. For the anointing that I feel is so wonderful here today. But I want to ask you a favor. Instead of me doing that, I want you eagles to put your hand over on that brother, sister eagle. And I want you to pray for them. We know God doesn't just hear the preacher's prayers. He hears your prayers. You just pray as the Spirit of God would lead you. Hallelujah. They may be sick, they may be weary, they may be down, maybe they're dealing with who knows what it is. But it might be your prayer today that'll bring deliverance in their life. Surely none of us would not want to do that if we knew God would help us. Praise God. Lord Jesus, eagle to eagle, believer to believer, we have our hands one upon the other. Maybe one sister took a hold of another sister and really they're not best of friends. They're not really close and they're not really compatible. But yet in their soul, they love one another so much. And one day that part that doesn't make us compatible in this life will be changed and all of us will have divine compatibility. Maybe brothers have laid their hand over on the shoulder of another brother or took them by the hand and they may be the same way. They're not the best of friends and maybe never will be in this life. But yet they love that brother and they feel concerned for them today.
Lord Jesus, may your presence, I pray, go among this body of believers today, Father. We count it such an honor to be the wife of the high priest. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lord, but that part of us which is not yet redeemed, that part of us which is yet mortal, it can still be sick, still have diseases and afflictions and questions and wonder. I don't understand this and I don't understand that. I don't know about this. Sure, that's the human part. Lord Jesus, may you help us today, Father. Oh, Lord, you loved us so much when you come to this earth. You allowed yourself to feel the way we would. In the Garden of Gethsemane, you would ask that question that you knew many of your children would ask. Why? I don't believe it was words, but Lord Jesus, I believe you allowed yourself to feel. Why? How come? I don't understand. Why? Maybe there's some here today. Why would God take my husband? Why would God take my wife? Why would God take my baby? Why would God take my mother? I don't understand. Lord, may you minister to them today, Father. Lord, help them. May you give them strength so that why don't destroy them, Lord. Many have been hurt and scarred deeply by preachers and by friends and relatives and whatever more. Jesus, may you minister to them today, Lord. This world, this church, this message is full of hurting, wounded people. May the presence of God, I pray, arise today. Oh, Jesus, you've moved in our souls and we've seen you move in our bodies. May you pass this way today, Almighty Eagle, with healing in your wings to heal our broken spirits. Heal the scars, Lord, of our memories. Grant it, I pray, Lord Jesus. We worship you today, mighty God. We bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, can we just worship him now together? Sing for us, Eric. Let's just worship him now, saints. Oh, praise be to God. Now remember where you are. You're no longer now sitting out before the celebration, the ceremony, people tipping their glasses and eating and all that sort of thing. But you're in the bridal chamber with the king. Him looking at you, you looking at him. Him taking your hands, you're taking his. Oh, I love you, Lord Jesus, and I love you. Oh, Jesus, I need you so much, and I need you, my bride, my sweetheart. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. Oh, Jesus, I hope I'll always please you. You will. You will. Don't worry about that. That's what I see in you. I see in you completion, perfection. You see only temporary. I see permanence. You see temporary from day to day. You see your failures. I see a finished work. You imagine as King David began to search one day and he said, is there anybody left of the family of Saul or my beloved friend Jonathan? Yes, sir. They go to searching through the land and they find one person, Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was one who had been dropped by his nurse, who was a woman. Whenever the enemy was coming in, and she grabbed this young child and dropped Mephibosheth. And when she dropped him, it left him crippled. Glory to God. That's the way you and I was born. Eve dropped us all in that sense of the word. But what did David do? David called him to his table to sit right there, Brother Warren, every day of his life. He couldn't get out and run. He couldn't do as the others did. But he was honored. And he could say it over and over again. I eat with the king. I found favor in the eyes of the king. You imagine if anybody said, look at him. Don't you say that about him. Don't you say that about him. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. You say, I'm lame. I'm this and that and the other. But if you found favor in the eyes of the king, Mephibosheth, don't even let your own values undermine what God has given you. Isn't it an honor to sit at the table? Do you understand what's happened in this last hour and 20 minutes? We have sat at the table with the King. Let's sing together and worship before I let you go. God bless you. I love you so much. Amen.
Almighty God.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
The great I am.
Hallelujah.
Immovable rock, omnipotent, powerful, Awesome Lord.
Awesome Lord. Hallelujah.
Victorious warrior.
Yes, Lord.
Commanding King of Kings.
Amen.
Mighty Conqueror. And the only time.
Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Lord, the only time I ever saw you run.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's when he ran to me. He took me in his arms.
Yes,
held my head to his chest.
Yes,
said, my son's come home again. Lifted my face. Wiped the tears from my eyes. With forgiveness in his voice.
Said,
still alone.
Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God.
The day I left home.
Amen.
I knew I'd broken his heart. And I wondered then if things would ever be the same. Then one night.
Praise God.
I remembered his love for me. And down that dusty road, ahead I could see. It was the only time. It was the only time I ever saw him run. That's when he ran to me. Said my son's come home again, lifting my face, wiped the tears from my eyes with forgiveness in his voice. He said, son, do you know I still love you? Oh, when he ran to me, he took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said my son. The tears from my eyes with forgiveness in his voice. He said, son.
Amen.
He called me son.
He called me son. He called me son.
He called me son. He said, son, do you know I still
Thank you, Heavenly Father. May I say today, it's not just sons alone. It's daughters. Amen. He loves you. Praise God. Father, thank you for the word today. Thank you for our time at the table with the King. Once again, we have eaten such great delicacies of your word. We thank you, blessed God. It's not that we're any better than anyone else. It's not that we could ever make ourselves better. It's unmerited favor. Abraham was a heathen, a Gentile. But yet he was called by you. His father made and sold gods. Abraham worked in his shop selling gods. Little did he know, one day the living God would call his voice. You come running to Abraham. Thank you, Father. Lord Jesus, I pray, may you bring in every seed. But Lord, not only that, everyone that is savable. We pray, Lord, for these people out here, dear God, that go to Baptist, Methodist, Church of God, Presbyterian, whatever more. Lord, may everyone that can be saved be brought in. They may not be bright and they may never sit here in this church. Lord, that's the least of our concern, them coming here, if they can be saved. It's not your will that any should perish, but all should be saved. Bring them in, Lord, before it's too late, so we can go home, Father. We love you, Lord Jesus, with all of our hearts. As we're dismissed today from this place, may we never be dismissed from your presence. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We love you, Lord God. Thank you for our wedding night. Oh, I love it, Father. I love it. Praise God. May we just enter into this communion and fellowship. Lean back against your chest, as it were. Hear your heartbeat. Look into your eyes. They appear as deep as the ocean. Your thoughts run beyond the universe. Great, mighty God, that you would condescend and you would let us talk to you as we would take our simple ways and praise you, yet the mighty one would receive it as if though it was words that were so eloquent. You condescend to such a level to receive our praise and our adoration as if though it was coming from some wonderful theologian. Lord, how we love you today. Go with us now, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And he loves him with all your heart. Can you say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing this chorus together as we go. The more I seek you, the more I find you. The more I seek you, Lord, the more I find you. And then what? Lord, the more I find you, the more I sit at your feet, drink from this cup in your hand, lay back against you, breathe, feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can understand. I rest in your peace, it's overwhelming. The more I seek you, the more I find you. The more I find you, the more I love you. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from this cup in your hand, lay back against you, breathe, feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can understand. I rest in your peace, it's overwhelming. Seek you,
sweet Jesus,
the more I find you, the more I find you,
this cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe. Feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can understand. I rest in your peace, it's overwhelming. The more I seek you, the more I find you. The more I find you, Father, the more I love you. I want to sit at your feet, drink from this cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe. Feel your heartbeat. Your love is so deep, it's more than I can understand. In your peace, it's overwhelming. I want to sit at your feet, drink from this cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe. Feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can understand. I rest in your peace, it's overwhelming. The more I seek you, the more I find you. The more I find you. Cup in your hand, lay back.